offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient and anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna gramita hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy, blessed day. Oh, happy, blessed place. Oh, happy, blessed time. Oh, happy, blessed path. Oh, happy, blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sabha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. You are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Shall we look at this morning? Linda.
I was looking at rain this morning. And kind of seeing how it's really quite amazing that something that is we can't live without can also be enormously destructive.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started moving around and applying it to other things like food.
Like food?
Food, yeah. It can be completely life-giving, or if we get into that spectrum of addiction to it, it can kill us. And sort of looking at, perhaps that's where the whole looking at the middle way came from.
Mm-hmm.
That and I haven't explored it more, but it seems as though there are probably lots of things that fall into those kinds of categories.
Yeah.
Things that that we can go to extremes, or we can just be where perhaps it's what life intended, or mm-hmm. it's what works, or
I wonder if we could say that everything is like that.
I suspect maybe so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The best example I think is money.
But yeah.
Money can be, it's completely neutral on its own. I mean, it doesn't, it's just pieces of paper with markings on it. It's completely neutral.
Yeah.
Can be used for tremendous good and tremendous harm and destruction.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. That'd be fun to look at. But I bet you everything is like that. It's all, it's, what comes out of something is all what we bring to it.
Yeah, even looking at rain as, depending on the perspective, if we're somewhere where there's been a drought, which we are occasionally, then all of this is absolutely fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're somewhere where we live in really low-lying lands, and it wipes things out.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so it's an attitude of mind as well.
Yeah, I think probably for most of us, I think for most of it, it basically comes down to, you know, how, what impact does it have on me?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's the really important part.
Yeah. I was looking at that this morning because, you know, I had this whole plan for the morning. You probably did too.
I did.
And I came up here and found out that, you know, with huge winds last night, everybody knows, but, you know, blew all the covers off the stuff in the garden. We blew a couple windows off the gazebo, ripped part of the greenhouse off. So we were running around this morning in the pouring rain this morning, putting all that back together. It was really fun.
Yeah.
But there was a moment where I was like, but wait a second.
Yeah.
This is not the way it's supposed to be going.
Right, right. This is not quite the agenda I had.
But if we get kind of in alignment with it, then then it can be, like, I think everything in life could be a gift also if we're willing for it.
That was kind of where it started for me, because when I walked up this morning, I walked the long way and just was so awestruck by the quantity of water that's flowing down towards the creek mm-hmm. along our roads.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, making beautiful little creeks that are, of course, digging deeper ruts in the road.
Yeah, right down the middle of our roads.
And there's a big pond now out by one of the remote hermitages. But really appreciating its existence and how it does what it does and its true beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see going to the other side of, oh, you know, rats, we're going to have to get the tractor out and repair the roads and mm-hmm. whatever. But mostly just really, really appreciating what life gives us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, what I went to when you said that, it's kind of the same thing, but, you know, all of life is like that. You know, we have to, somebody was talking about this recently, that life is all about making messes and cleaning them up. And that feels like that's pretty kind of all that happens. Yeah, you know, we're just going along and life is presenting, you know, we're just running into stuff that we have to take care of. And that's pretty much what life is.
Yeah.
If we have an attitude of mind that says that there's some kind of problem with some aspect of it, then of course we suffer.
Right.
If we don't have that attitude of mind, we say if there's an openness to everything, then we really don't suffer.
Yeah, then spending however much time picking worms off the porch.
Yeah, I mean, that really was the experience this morning. And we've had lots of conversations on Sunday mornings, I think, about this, where something has happened. I remember there was one back here where some kind of water disaster in the utility room on a Sunday morning. You remember that? We were all in there.
Sink that plug to the...
Something, yeah. But, you know, the conversation always is how much fun it is to let go and then get into something like that.
Yes.
Because this morning, somebody, it'd be easy to, from the outside, say, well, these are not good life circumstances. Pouring rain is really cold. And we're out there tending to all these things. But from inside, it's really, really fun. You go on just one from the other, and the last one is picking the worms off the porch right before a group. Mm-hmm. And there's just a feeling of sort of satisfaction and completeness that comes with that. It might have to do with just like a full participation in what's there.
Well, and caretaking. I think everything that was happening this morning would fall into the category of caretaking as well.
Yeah.
Taking care of the greenhouse, taking care of the greenhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun to have a practice that supports being open to life in that way.
Yeah.
Because I suspect that it doesn't happen a lot of times for people.
Yeah, and it would be really easy to not have a good time doing it,
mm-hmm.
which would spoil it all.
It really would.
Yeah.
And then if you extrapolate from there, we could look at things like, you know, physical injuries or physical problems, natural disasters. You know, I actually don't know anything about it, but apparently there's a really big one going on in the East.
Yeah.
They've just heard a rumor about, you know, how can we step back far enough to stay open to even something that seems... that almost everybody would agree is hard or difficult or mm-hmm. awful or something like that.
Yeah, because it's happening. So to not be open to mm-hmm. it is just to increase our own suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. To get enough perspective that we can look at all of us and what's going on in the same way we can look at the worms on the porch.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a lot of critters doing the best they can with what they've got, and none of it means anything. And we'll do the best we can to help with that. But really, that's kind of where it stops. None of it, you know, so some of them didn't make it. Some of them died, some of the worms. Okay, well, in the scheme of things, that has to be okay, too.
Yeah.
So funny, I was just looking at this. I've been reading this book. The name of the book is The Age of the Unthinkable. And it's a fascinating book. And this guy is talking about how the dangers of getting locked into any one way of looking at things. And that's what happens. And so we're constantly blindsided. Mm-hmm. You know? A more effective, and even cites Buddhism actually, a more effective approach is to be basically flexible, agile, alert, and to know that you don't know. Mm-hmm. And as I was reading it, I was thinking, you could do all these things or you could just become Buddhist.
That kind of happens naturally.
But I've been looking at that. I've just been feeling that so much that the minute we get locked into anything where we think we know, where we think we got a system, where we think we got it worked out, it's just a setup to be whammed.
It is.
And if we can get it, that everything is tentative, you know, that everything we construct is just that, it's just a construction. It's like, you know, if you're going to invent a story, know that you're inventing a story. As long as we can be in that place, then when something unexpected happens, we can be open to it, mm-hmm. Rather than saying, this can't happen. I mean, I was just seeing how, you know, we construct a world in our thoughts, and then we believe that that is more real than the world is.
Mm-hmm. And it makes us inflexible and unable to mm-hmm. to adapt to or respond, is a better word, maybe, to mm-hmm. whatever is happening right here.
Yeah, and angry and resentful mm-hmm. or in denial or just how unhelpful that is, and what a challenge it is, though, to be there. Pema Chodron often talks about, you know, we're always seeking ground to stand on, and there isn't any. And, if we can get used to, if we can be okay with floating, then it's fine. But, boy, it's a funny feeling in the pit of the stomach mm-hmm. when we're used to to constructing some ground to stand on.
Mm-hmm. It really is a practice, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm thinking of you talking just the body. Because if the body, if like the equivalent on the physical level is not taking care of the body, like not stretching, not getting exercise, the body gets tighter and tighter and tighter, and then it can really easily be injured. Just the slightest little thing. But if we're doing a practice where we're taking care of the body and stretching it in the way it needs to and all of that, then it remains, I can't remember all the words you use, but, you know, pliant and flexible mm-hmm. and adaptable and all that. So we really can respond to kind of life and whatever, and everything that life throws its way.
Yeah, and I was also thinking that this morning that the garden is a great it's a great teacher in that mm-hmm. regard, because, you know, I was thinking about the lettuces we have out there now, you know, that we planted in the greenhouse in like September or something, or October, and thought that they would just flourish, and months would by. Months went by. Yeah, we'd be eating them. This would have been second generation out there. And we mm-hmm. months went by and nothing happened. They just sat there. And then all of a sudden, you know, wham, they're growing, and we put them in the garden, and then the storm comes along and you just think, gosh, it's supposed to rain all week. And I think, so is the soil that we have, does it drain well enough that these poor things won't drown? And there's absolutely no way to know. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just no way to know. Mm-hmm. And that's just how it is, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just, I'm really getting that you just can't invest in anything, really. Invest in the sense of, this is how it is, or this is who I am. Mm-hmm. You can invest in the sense of, this is where I'd like to put my energy. But not in the sense of, and I know the outcome, or I know what this means about anything. It's really, it's a really challenging place to live from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much so. As you're pointing at, the benefits are of doing it, of practicing that, are enormous, aren't they? Uh-huh. You know, I was thinking of just the insight that comes from having that openness in the mind. Because really, without that, all we have to go to is something from the past mm-hmm. that we're dragging into this moment that does not apply at all.
Right.
And I was thinking about the garden. So, you know, running around this morning, and so all that stuff is happening, and, you know, the remake is all blown off of it. It's up against, plastered up against the fence, along with all of the framing that was holding all plastered against the fence. And looking at that and saying, you know what, I think these guys are all fine. I think they're doing great. And you know, maybe that whole construction that we made there to try to protect them is kind of irrelevant, except I think in a couple cases.
Yeah. Yeah, I was putting away the rest of the wire on the relay, and I did. And there's an interesting case in the middle way too, because there's one little section of brand new lotuses that are, and I just we covered them, you know, because I thought, well, they can use some help, I think, some protection. But the others, you know, they seem to be doing okay. And that middle way, it feels like, is that way of remaining flexible.
Yeah.
You know that, because it's like the middle way involves kind of seeing the extremes and kind of negotiating where you choose to be between the extremes rather than getting locked in any place. Mm-hmm. And what is the middle way changes all the time. Mm-hmm. So
it allows us to be led step by step through whatever's happening.
Yeah.
It really is. It's interesting to think about, you know, I don't know how you would talk about it, the life or reality being intelligent and full of the information that we need. Mm-hmm. But it really seems like it is. It's like whatever's here in the head is like a radio antenna for, it's not like it's being created in there. It feels kind of like, to me anyway, that it's receiving just the intelligence that's there. We block it because we, like what you're saying, we put all these ideas and these constructions in there that we think are more real than the information that's just arising in the moment. Mm-hmm. But you take those things away and we're tuned in and we can just, okay, so I take one step, all right, now here I am, okay, and then what is the opening that happens right here that seems the thing to step into?
Right. And
is step by step by step allowing ourselves to be guided just by the information that's out there.
Yeah.
You need to go back to Amy. I saw her hands first.
I'm looking at just the unpredictability and lack of control I have with life. And
I bet you have.
and yet, in the midst of that, having the experience of being supported by life. So I had an inward ordeal.
Still having it, I would say.
getting caught out in snowy weather and without equipment for work and sliding all over the road and reaching a point where, it was interesting. It was like there were two things going on. There was someone who was really afraid of feeling helpless, and then there was being with that person. Mm-hmm. And after making it down a couple windy hills, passing a pickup in a ditch, and seeing a couple other cars up ahead pulled off to the side of the road, I decided to just stop, and I saw some people. I thought, I'm just going to go ask to use their phone. And it's interesting thinking that what was dangerous was being in the car and then getting out of the car and having a really bad on-foot accident.
Just can't win.
It's just, I didn't see that coming. I was so scared of being in the vehicle and feeling like I didn't have control of the vehicle. And it was just interesting to see that I don't have control of anything.
Especially, you know, we think about this vehicle, this body, we even talk about not having control or something.
And then the experience I had, though, was one of just feeling so supported by these complete strangers that I never even got their names, and they would let me use their phone, and gave me some encouragement that they thought I'd be able to make it in my four-wheel vehicle, and they only had two wheels, and gave me some coaching as I tried to get the vehicle back onto the road, and cheered, you did it.
You know, that kind of situation just brings out the best in people. It really is what Penny was talking about. It gets us past this thing that we get locked into, mm-hmm. and just accesses who we really are. I think somebody was even talking about that last week in reference to whatever it is that's happening in or near Japan. You know, that people are, that kind of thing is happening to everyone, is just showing up in a really heroic way mm-hmm. to deal with what's happening.
A truck passed and stalled us if we were okay. And then as I was about to depart, one of the women presented me with two Band-Aids and some moist towels because I hadn't even realized until I was handing the phone back that I was dripping blood. and then on the way back, encountering two people who were coming up to find me, and the other thing was that it felt so triumphant to have parked the car in the monastery parking lot myself.
Like you've been on this journey, you finally made it back. Yeah.
Because there was part of me who felt like she needed to be rescued. Mm-hmm.
And aren't you glad that didn't happen?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You were there. You had to rely completely on yourself and your own adequacy, mm-hmm. and everything that life was throwing in your way to help out.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. It felt like something in me got me through that, and I was just being supported all along the way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And,
don't you think it's like that all the time?
I imagine so. Mm-hmm.
I think we just forget. Mm-hmm. You know, we sink back into this world that isn't real, where this kind of experience gets cut off from us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I've been also reminded of the recent reading from Trying to Be Human about pain and suffering. Mm-hmm. And I've been in a lot of physical pain, and there just hasn't been a whole lot of suffering mm-hmm. attached to that. Mm-hmm. There's just been a lot of gratitude and kindness.
Wow, that is so great. Yeah. Does it feel like one of those where you're maybe harvesting the fruits of your practice?
I think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, boy, isn't that what makes an experience like that possible?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I could imagine it being a different way, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. Yeah. Thank you. Cameron.
That was wonderful. I had that experience recently too, where I had a 24-hour plumbing ordeal that was just completely above and beyond anything I knew how to handle. And that's exactly what I did. I was calling everybody to come and rescue me, not realizing that's what I was doing, you know. Mm-hmm. Feeling like I needed help, feeling like I didn't have the resources to deal with this. I couldn't get it to stop. Water was going everywhere. And in the end, it was fixed and it was taken care of. And
it was fixed. You mean you fixed it?
It the water got stopped. The problem went to the store, got the parts, actually fixed the whole thing.
You did.
This person did, who did not have the resources to do it.
Uh-huh. And that's what I thought. That's when you said it was fixed. It's like, wait, somebody's being left out.
Yeah. And it was the same kind of feeling that was just described, that, wow. I mean, I was desperate to get anyone to come, you know. I mean, I just did not know how to do this, and I felt so hurt and abandoned, and couldn't anybody see this is impossible for me to do, and you know, where's my hero or heroine or somebody to rescue me? And at the end, I just felt so, I mean, and the feeling was not like I did it. The feeling was being in that place we were talking about, where being in the moment, and the moment provides.
Yeah, it's fun. I don't know if you would describe your experience this way, but sometimes with something like that, even if you're completely by yourself, nobody else is involved, you get done and say, we did it.
Exactly, because I was very much aware when it came down to the end part, where I actually had these parts in a bag, and I didn't even really, you know, it was like, you know, I've got to cut pipe out of the thing, copper pipe out of this thing, and I mean, just way, you know, and it was like somebody just, it was the mentor, I know it was the mentor, just came in and just looked at things and boom, boom, boom. Nope, that's not going to work here. We've got to do this first. And turn the water on, and it worked. And it didn't leak. I mean, it was, but it was that, it was, it, when you were speaking earlier with a previous person, I realized that having an idea is then participation, any kind of participation comes from some old information that's not even relevant in the moment.
Yeah.
So there's not the fun of participating in life at all. It's more like frustrating because you're trying to apply something that's not current.
Yeah, it's so true. And that's how people end up being victims.
Exactly.
Because imagine, so somebody else, not you, the same situation, doesn't have practice. This thing happens, I'm completely inadequate, that's the end of the story.
That's what it felt like nobody until comes I let to go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Nobody comes to rescue the person,
mm-hmm.
I'm a victim.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody loves me, nobody, you know, it just gets worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
And then that sense of inadequacy gets reinforced by that.
Exactly.
It becomes even bigger and harder to get past, and we just get more and more boxed in.
And the real tragedy of it is that there's a lack of awareness that there's that joy possible in just bringing oneself current, just mm-hmm. being there. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if I had done all that and it leaked at the end, at least I had that feeling of being there, of actually participating and looking and seeing what it looked like it was needed, and then going mm-hmm. to the store and describing that. And all of that was really energizing.
And of course, well, if you had gotten all that done and it had leaked, well, what happened is you would have said,
move into the next moment.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Here we go again.
Yeah, exactly.
I must have missed something I didn't understand about that. But good. This is an opportunity for me to learn even more.
Yeah. And it is just such a different experience of being, you know, I mean, it is feeling alive instead of dead and disempowered mm-hmm. and a victim.
Yeah, it's just being a conduit for life energy and life force.
So it's really good to feel like things happen and you're over the edge of what you
mm-hmm.
your experience tells you know how to do
mm-hmm.
because then you have to just let go and see what you can do with what's there. And it almost my experience is it's all there. It really is.
It always is.
Always is.
Yeah, that's such a good point. It's always there, what we need.
Yeah.
I've got a little project this afternoon I'm going to do. I'm moving hermitages, and the one I'm moving into needs things. And so I've got a little building project that's happening this afternoon. And I started it, but I don't know how it's going to go. I know what I want. I know what I want to happen, but I don't know how it's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
And I'm really looking forward to the experience you're talking about, some smaller scale, because it's not life and death or any of that kind of stuff, but it's really fun to just go and so what's the first thing? Oh, I need to do this, and then, oh, well, now I see what I need to do, and oh, now I see now, oh, I see how this would go together, and it's just one of those after another until the thing's done, and then I'll stand it up and paint it and say, ah!
It's just fun. The most fun thing in the world to do mm-hmm. to be in that place, really. It mm-hmm. really is. Because it's all the creativity in the world is available there for the person to participate creatively with what's available.
Yeah, and it feels like it creates the largest possible person.
It does.
To live inside of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the best part, I think.
Yeah.
It just, anytime we decide that we can't do something, and what I mean is we can't do something. You know, I can't, like as an idea.
Yeah.
Then we cut off this whole experience of life as possible, and this whole sort of me who we don't know that we could grow into.
Yeah, and as you said that, what I saw is when I can be successful using what I know, the feeling afterwards is not anything at all like the feeling of when I don't know, and it gets, you know, it's not an I who mm-hmm. did it, it's a person who feels connected to life.
Right.
And it's a completely different experience, even though the other one, I could have succeeded in the goal or something, but it's a different feeling to be just there and to work with what's there and kind of be flexible as you go and you end up somewhere. Mm-hmm. It's just
completely different.
The best.
Yeah, that's my experience too. We don't know anything.
We don't.
We just think we do.
Yeah, and usually that's an impediment to actually getting the information that will help us.
Yeah, and we all know that from practice, the practice of attending to, you know, what's going on in the mind. Mm-hmm. The only way to be, to participate effectively in what goes on in there is to let everything go and just be open to what is. And at the same time, there's, and this is an interesting thing to me anyway, there's experience that comes from doing that, but it's not a knowing. It's just something, it's like we're uploading it into whatever our, I don't know what it would be in a computer, but you know, our hard drive back in here. We don't know it, but it's just stuff that's available that that comes out of our experience when we are meeting the next moment. So next time, you know, fight burst or whatever happened, you have this all this experience that you can rely on. You've got experience on a practical level. You know how to do whatever it is you just learned how to do, and then you also have experience on a level of your adequacy. And so, not in a way that's knowing, but all of those things are going to come with you into the next moment and the next situation that's there.
Yeah, yeah. And what I would say is a building of trust.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there was something in what you just said that clicked something important, but I don't remember what it was. But it all does add up into an experience of trust and confidence,
mm-hmm.
and not in knowing, but in being present.
Yeah, it's so true. The other day, we had this person who's assisting us on with organizational stuff, really seemingly knowledgeable about how organizations work and communication structures and accountability and all this stuff that we're working on. And it's funny because I asked her the other day, where do you learn all this stuff? And she's basically what she said is, I didn't.
Mm.
It's just a way of looking.
Oh, wow.
And it just, I think that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It just all comes from a way of looking at it, and then the information is there. I mean, I think in this case, she has a lot of experience with that, mm-hmm. has done that a lot, and so has a lot of practice with looking at things from this point of view, and kind of a sense of what arises.
Uh-huh.
But it's easy to project that there's not a lot of knowing that's getting in the way of how that experience applies to this circumstance that we're in right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, dragging the knowing into this circumstance kind of puts a predisposed bias on the looking, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just takes away, it's like what you're saying, taking away anything that's, any way that we can actually be affected in the situation.
Yeah.
Nikki.
There's a lot of things that have been said this morning that really brought things up. One of them that I was just, there's a recording that I have on my recorder that's from something I read, and this person's talking about, I mean, the essence of it is letting go of stories and just, you know, being open, being available. And but they talk about having, for them, the last story, which for them was something like, you know, God is and God is good or something like that. In other words, that if I'm going to have one story left, it's going to be a story that is what I can see is most so.
Do you mean, it's kind of like what Sherry says sometimes when she says that if you're going to believe something, you might as well believe something that's pleasant.
Right, it's right. Like if I'm going to have one last story that I don't let go of, it's going to be what I really want to...
The place you want to live
that's
from.
That's the place I want to live from. Mm-hmm. So I've been looking at, for me, I have this little notebook that I bought somewhere that has a little saying on the front, and it's, the universe is friendly and life is on my side. And I thought,
nice.
I think that's the last story I
might
have. You know, and I bring myself back to that a lot of times, you know, especially when I get into those more fearful places, you know, and just say, no, wait a minute here, you know, that's not how it is,
mm-hmm.
you know, however it turns out, you know, it may not look the way, I don't have control, it may not look the way I want it to look, but if I'm in the universe is friendly and life is on my side, then then that's what's available to me.
Yeah.
And I'm available to that.
Definitely. Because it looks the way it is.
Yeah, yeah.
And we can either be there with that or not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which takes me back to how we started the conversation this morning and looking at how anything could be anything, you know? I mean, it could be a force for good or a force mm-hmm. for not. And I mean, it just seems to me that, you know, life is that way. I mean, people come into an incarnation and some of them end up living lives that are used incredibly for good and others mm-hmm. live lives that are seemingly...
Well, that's interesting. That brought you up to a whole other level. Because
yeah.
before we were talking about in terms of
yeah.
I'm kind of in charge of that.
Right.
To think
yeah.
of that I'm like money. You know, my whole being, right. my whole life,
right.
I'm this
right.
this possibility,
right.
and I'm being steered around by something that is
yeah.
way bigger than I can see.
Yeah.
It is how it feels, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of. Mm-hmm.
There's an illusion
yeah.
that I'm in charge and
right.
making these decisions,
right.
but even on the level of, it seems to me, I often wonder about this, suffering and ending suffering,
mm-hmm.
sometimes
mm-hmm.
that doesn't even seem like
mm-hmm.
a choice that's being made.
Mm-hmm.
That's all been laid out, but it's
mm-hmm.
hard to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was thinking about thought, too, you know, how we all, thought is, but some thoughts are leading to suffering, and some thoughts are leading to joy, and, you know, it's not, in a sense, thoughts are that kind of neutral, and it's
mm-hmm.
what where we go with them. And
mm-hmm.
and I've just been seeing lately how determined conditioning is to keep the thoughts in the suffering channel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally determined, and how equally determined I need to be to not stay there with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And could you describe? Relating that to what you were talking about before, how I need to be determined is not the same as I, in quotes,
mm-hmm, right.
need to be determined?
Well, yeah, it's, I think perhaps maybe the word would be vigilant. Because it seems like what I've been seeing is that, so conditioning, I'm just kind of getting formed as I'm talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So there are thoughts,
mm-hmm.
and the thoughts are just thoughts. And conditioning will, in a sense, snag some of those and present them to me, and it chooses the ones that it knows are going to push my buttons.
Mm-hmm.
And there are others equally available for snagging that would land me in a very different place vis-a-vis life and joy. And so there's both something that can do that and something that needs, I don't know if this is the right word, that needs to be intentional about making sure that's the way I want my life to go.
It needs to be intentional.
Yeah, in mm-hmm. other words, that gets up in the morning and says, the life I'm going to live is the life of presence and availability and joy and happiness,
mm-hmm.
not the life of being at the mercy of something wrong and not enough and
right.
suffering. So there's, so it seems like there's an act of intention.
Mm-hmm. That is not owned
right.
by...
Right.
an incarnation.
Right.
Because I'm
right,
taking
right,
what you said
right.
before and applying it to this. And so,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's true. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we would all, everybody sitting in this room would agree, it takes incredible determination and incredible vigilance. It seems like we have to choose
mm-hmm.
that which leads away from suffering
right.
instead of that which
right.
leads towards suffering.
Right.
But all the time that's going on, we have to understand that we're not making any
right.
of this happen.
Because right.
if we are,
right.
then we're...
Right.
And
right.
we're not, we're heading in the other
then
direction.
Then we're bringing something to it that isn't, right.
Yeah, we can only not bring something
mm-hmm.
to it,
yeah.
it seems like. That's really
yeah.
the only choice we have.
Because yeah.
I would bet you that, you know, even that vigilance and that determination
mm-hmm.
is, you're channeling that
mm-hmm.
rather than producing that
right.
as a way of talking.
Right, yeah. Yeah, because in a way, if I wasn't, would it even occur to me that it was possible to do that? I mean,
if you weren't,
if I weren't channeling that determination,
oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, if it didn't present itself to me, would I even know that that was available to me?
Yeah, well, it makes sense. I mean, if you really look at it, I didn't have anything to do with being here. Mm-hmm. I didn't have anything to do with having this body or what type of body. Right. I didn't have anything to do with the karma that I arrived with. So why would I think that I have anything to do with the decisions that have been made, with any of the feelings or thoughts that have been behind those decisions, any of the kind of the little miracles that have happened along the way, any of the assistance? I mean, how could we claim any of it, really? Mm-hmm. Even down to the level of just like the insight that's there. No, I don't want to go back. I don't want to go in that direction. I've gone in that direction 10,000 times. Mm-hmm. I want to go this way now. Even that, it feels like it's coming from someplace else.
Yeah, I don't know why what you just said brought this up for me, but the other day I was in a place in the open air archives where I listened to a show that was somewhat older, and not a lot older, but you know, not the past couple of years or so. And Sherry was talking to somebody about kind of one way she was having at that time of explaining what goes on with us, and she was talking about four beings,
oh,
I guess,
I know that.
And talking about the, you know, the conditioning and the illusion of the separate self and the kindness and compassion, essentially kind of the mentor and the incarnation.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about either the incarnation is in conversation with the compassion and kindness, or mm-hmm. the illusion of a separate self is in conversation with conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
And it just has been in the last mm-hmm. few days since I heard that such a helpful mm-hmm. touchstone of looking to see what's going on in any given moment.
Yeah, if I understand what you're saying, the incarnation would be the neutral mm-hmm. thing that
right.
we're talking about, the equivalent
yeah.
of money.
Yeah.
It's just
yeah.
this being with
yeah.
enormous potential
right.
to go in any possible direction
yeah.
that's there.
Yeah.
And it's got these influences. It's got, for whatever reason, which we don't know, it's
yeah.
got the influence of egocentric karmic conditioning, which yeah. comes into the lifetime along with the person, it seems like. It also has the influence of the life that holds all of that, I think, even the egocentric karmic conditioning
yeah.
and the influence there. And then really, gosh, it's almost like all we can do is practice being aware of the incarnation
right.
going through
right.
whatever it is that it goes through in this until it's all over.
Right. Yeah.
Everything else, if is anything that's not that, is a doing
mm-hmm.
that is just and
yeah.
basically just an interference.
Yeah.
It's just with that one of those other relationships.
Yeah. And just one last thing, talking about the weather last night and the wind, and there was a time when I was awake for a little while, and I mean, I don't know if it was the height of the wind, but it was really strong, and you know, I was laying there listening to my windows being slammed and thinking, should I be lying right here? You know? And I just watched that dance between kind of the little fear about, you know, what's going on here,
mm-hmm.
and the just being awed by the power of
mm-hmm.
the whole thing, and just not wanting to go back to sleep because I didn't want to
yeah.
miss it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like, you know, pretty soon it's going to be summer and nothing's going to be happening. So I need to...
We're going to think, boy, you remember that
that's
time?
Right, I need to not miss this, you know?
Yeah.
But just that little edge, you know, mm-hmm. between, oh my God, and oh wow.
Yeah, that's
this
great.
Is really cool.
Yeah, that's great. Really alive.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's funny, you know, we'll get around to the summertime and we'll the same thing applies.
Right.
I really need to be here for this. Because pretty soon the crickets are gonna be gone and it's gonna be
right.
gone, you know. So we really want to be there for that too
yeah.
as we go through.
Yeah.
Just right on that edge, we're really alive to what's there.
Yeah.
Hmm. June.
Several years ago, there was a workshop that I missed. I heard a little bit about it, and I think about it really often. And what I heard about it was, and you can help me with this because you did it. It was about what you want. It's okay to want what you want. You would go around the room and people would say, this is what I want, and everybody else would say, it's okay to want that. You remember that?
remember really specifically somebody else might, but I can remember things like that that we've done.
Yeah. And I just think about it often, and I sort of regret having missed that workshop.
Well, I don't know. Who knows what actually happened? It worked for you.
Maybe I had the best workshop of all. And in my current practice of making and keeping commitments to myself, it's still two steps forward, one step ahead. And that's okay.
Oh, yeah.
And I just have such a... It's so easy to get into there's something wrong with me. First of all, there's a me doing this, who's either succeeding or failing. And I don't hear much about the success. I hear a great deal about the failure.
I gotcha.
And the sensations in my body create all kinds of beliefs. I think I talked about this last Sunday, where if I go there with them, I become this little, tiny, narrow I who is just suffering. And it's, you know, I don't know what to say about it, except that that's how it goes. That's just kind of, I sort of cycle through that, those processes.
Oh, it's okay.
And so I go in and out of awareness and acceptance of the whole meta process.
Oh, okay, that's interesting.
It's so identified with the micro processes. Or content.
Yeah, you just added another layer to what I was saying. What I was speculating as you were saying that is, you talked about me a minute ago, that the me is there in the one step back. The me is not there in the two steps forward. Am I right? Because that makes sense from everything you described. So there's you know, you get here, and what way you get here, and take two steps forward. And then, because taking two steps forward is so incredibly threatening to egocentric karmic conditioning, this is how it works for me anyway. There's a subconsciousness that happens. Like, what is it? Oh, I just took two steps forward. And then immediately, there's a me there, and there's that one step back. And what clued me into it is, you know, because along with that is the self-hate, is the undermining, you know, the talking into, you know, pulling the person back into a smaller and smaller and smaller place. It's like a reaction to that.
Yeah.
And then you just add another element where, so there's that process is happening, and then the whole thing is being held in, and I can't remember exactly the word you used, but I think it was unconditional acceptance, perhaps, but something, a whole container of that, even that process, you know, the identification, disidentification process.
Yeah, that's the gift of practice, you know, is to see, to me it is, to see that however I am is okay, whatever I want is okay, whatever I do is okay, whatever I want, whatever I do is, the difficulty is only in the struggle against it. When the awareness and the focus gets really small and tight and suffering, a little tap on the shoulder is enough to, you know, explode. It's the Big Bang here. Another universe comes into existence.
Yeah, and all of that is a part of the process, isn't it?
Yeah.
We can get in there and decide that the two steps forward is a part of the process, but the one step back really shouldn't be.
Yeah.
But it's all a part of the process, and that's how we get from here to there.
It doesn't mean anything,
mm-hmm.
and it's not. it's not important, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't have anything to do with you, really.
It doesn't have anything to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I can hear other people talk about their stuff and see that.
Mm-hmm.
But because the feelings are in this body, mm-hmm. the sensations arise in this body, in this set of this conditioned mind takes it personal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy to stay in that place, mm-hmm. in that bigger place.
Not easy to, yes, but I would project, easy the right word is the right word, or I almost think, tell me this is too much, but inevitable that process of moving forward, two steps forward, one step back, moving towards wherever it is that you're going in this life is happening. It maybe doesn't always happen in a feeling of unconditional love and acceptance, but it's happening. There's a willingness there that's taking you where you want to go. And so there's practice on that level, and then there's practice on the even bigger level of can we hold the incarnation in unconditional love and acceptance as he or she goes through that.
It's all got to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm just identified.
Mm-hmm.
If there's some aspect of it that's not okay, if there's something wrong with Jim, then there's just identification.
Mm-hmm.
And even if that is, even if I get into that place, that's just another aspect of it.
It's just part of the process. That doesn't mean anything either, does it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love what was just shared about the book and the being alert, flexible, agile, and in don't know mind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put that on the poster. Put it out and put it on my recording. That just seems really key.
Mm-hmm.
It seems if you live in that place, you're kind of in alignment with the bigger picture.
Yeah, you really are. And it speeds things up. Yeah, it shortens the amount of time that we have to suffer as we go through whatever we have to go through. One other little thing that's been occurring to me as you're talking.
I'm for that.
You're for that. Yeah. Not that it really matters, but it does seem like we want to kind of suffer as little as we actually need to. But anyway, it was funny when you started off, with that exercise, I want, something. It's okay to want that. We need to figure out some way to, build up a cheerleading squad back in here where whatever's happening, I want that, or I feel that, or this is going on. That's okay. That's the immediate thing. Just all these voices, oh, that's okay to want that. It's okay to feel that way. A nice place to live from.
Cheerleading squad. Okay.
Linda.
Well, I was seeing something along those lines when you all were talking, which is yet another side benefit of the mentor and doing all the recording practice, is that then when I'm in a place of starting to feel bad because I did something or thinking about any of that, I can remember that the mentor isn't really going to have any attitude other than whatever I do is okay.
Mm-hmm.
So even when I'm not doing the recording practice immediately, there is what I'm learning about the mentor, that's the place of, if I go talk to the mentor now, she's going to say, whatever you do is okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that feels like another way all of that is building on itself.
It's kind of like you're building a place to live that's full of what the mentor brings to it. Love and acceptance and wisdom and clarity. And even when you're not actively engaged in that practice that we're using, the recording listening practice that we're using to do that, it's becoming more and more there because of that practice.
Yeah, and the mentor is a reliable cheerleader.
Yeah, when I made that comment a minute ago, I was thinking to myself, this recording practice is really it. I was just trying to figure out how can we get multiple voices on there. You know, maybe like an 8-track recorder or something. But anyway, but yeah. that really is what that practice is all about, isn't it?
Yeah.
That we can be continually given the information that it all is okay, whatever's going on.
And supported no matter what. Mm-hmm. And another thing I saw as you all were talking was, you know, Cherry will say periodically, the teacup is already broken. Mm-hmm. And it feels like in what you all were talking about, in that idea that, you know, my destination is my destination. Perhaps I have no idea what that is. But when you were talking about the two steps forward is life taking us where we are going to wind up, mm-hmm. that looking at the teacup is already broken, that the whole already contains my life. Mm-hmm. It ends wherever it ends in that big picture. Mm-hmm. There's something in there that feels really positive to me.
Oh, me too. Well, it just takes all the pressure off.
Exactly.
And it takes away any need to do anything other than just pay attention.
No need to change. Mm-hmm. Because the teacup is going to break.
It is.
Whether I'm extra careful with it today or tomorrow, it's still going to break at some point.
And it doesn't even matter if the place we're going is some determined place or if it could be any number of different possible places.
Yeah.
We're going someplace that we have no control over and no idea about. Mm-hmm. And so along the way, the only thing, with that understanding, the only thing that really makes sense is just to let go into what's actually here.
Yeah. And I do have a suspicion, I don't know it, but I have a suspicion that we do know where we're going. Hmm. There's this bird in Australia, and I've never been able to, this may be complete myth, I don't think it is, but it always builds its nest, it's a live by the river bird. It always builds its nest just above where the flood stage is there. And that says something really funny.
Yeah. Well, I don't know either, of course, but I can go to an experience inside myself when you say that, that's it, where that makes sense.
Yeah.
I can't say what it is in words, not mm-hmm. like on a content level, mm-hmm. but yeah, but like I feel like I know where it is. It's just not in a form.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's what you mean at all, but anyway, I can just go right there to, I get that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that does for me that same taking the pressure off.
Yeah.
That I don't really, and I think you just said this, I don't really have to do anything to get to where I want to get. I simply have to just keep saying yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in Christian language, you know, the Christians are saying, I think, just give it over to God.
Yeah.
Just whatever it is, just give it over. You know, or in our language, give it over to life. You know, life will take care of it. I don't have to worry about this thing. Life will take care of it. I have to pay attention. I have to practice. Mm-hmm. But am I even doing that? I'm not even sure. I kind of think life is doing that too.
Yes. Yeah. Where does that willingness come from?
Yeah. And it's fun too to think about the two steps forward. Not it's the two steps forward and the one step back. Are the way we get to where we want to go.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I just love that because it's just another thing that just completely takes the pressure off. Okay, well, I'm really identified or whatever is happening. Okay, good. I must be getting someplace.
Yeah, and it's back to the we know 1,000 ways it doesn't work. Mm-hmm.
Michael. Got a couple minutes, Michael.
Okay, yeah, if I had a moment that, okay, I'm identified, that means I must be going somewhere. And connecting that to kind of karma and karma cycling around, where I was doing this thing that I had done for a while and making plans to do it for a while and going, boy, this is really going to suck. But I don't have a choice. And then somehow this thing coming in where I saw, I don't have to do this. And it was So it was a moment of which seemed identical to what I had previously experienced, because it was this thing coming around, only it wasn't identical, because then I for whatever reason I didn't have the power not to do it. It's what I did. And here I was going, I see that I don't have to do that. I have a choice. And it was kind of a miracle.
Mm-hmm. It is, isn't it?
Yeah. And
I mean, everybody, of course, in the room can relate to that, because mm-hmm. we've all been there 10,000 times.
Yeah.
But who would have thought that I could let this go?
Yeah. Yeah, and the thing is, I think the thought right before I went, I don't have to do this, was the memory of what I did, which was I did fight through it.
You did what?
I did fight through it.
Huh.
I have fought through this before. So what the this is really going to suck was remembering how difficult it was to fight through it before, and then there was, I don't have to fight through it now.
No.
I already did it.
You already did it one time.
It's done. Mm-hmm. And
I love that. That is the way it is. I wonder, everybody must have that experience too. First time takes forever, and it's awful. And the second time, it's a little quicker. Third time, it's even quicker than that. And then when we get down to it, it's just like, it arises and it passes away.
Yeah. And another example of that, notwithstanding the fact that it often doesn't seem this way, we're out of time. Should I?
Go ahead and finish the thought.
Well, I had a doctor tell me, I experienced depression. He said, if you don't take medication, it's just going to cycle back around. And I looked at him and went, oh my God, kind of like maybe I should take, the thing that felt was every time it cycles around, I'm going to see something that I didn't see last time.
That's good.
Such as, I survived it the last time.
That is just such a perfect, don't forget where you're going, but that's such a perfect snapshot of conditioning. Okay, if you don't do this thing to avoid it, it's going to cycle around. It's the exact opposite of the truth. Yeah. If you do this thing to avoid it, it's going to cycle around in a way that it will never stop cycling.
Right. So, yeah.
Practice is good.
Good. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.